compliant. The annual report does provide for improvements, clarity, refocus, iterative improvement, and we urge you to allow the process to work. Next slide, please. I will just say that the ordinance was adopted a few months late. You might guess that the county was somewhat distracted in the middle of the summer. We had hoped to have this thing adopted in July and August. Among other things, we had the second largest fire in California history in the county, and I, among others, was involved in a long series of emergency response efforts to deal with this. It did slow us down. It's not an excuse. We would have missed the deadline anyway, but there were a lot of workshops, and you are hearing from one side of the issue that the ordinance doesn't go far enough. There were a lot of voices that expressed concern that the ordinance went too far. We also had an issue of integrating this ordinance into a rather complex existing regulatory framework at the state and local level. And so this wasn't simply a matter of taking a model ordinance and adopting it, but rather putting it into a local context so it makes sense, both in terms of how it related to other regulation, but also how it would be implemented. So when we talk about people's comments in the past, there's more to it than people's comments, but rather understanding in context what was actually done. And I will say that whatever the controversy, there were no formal challenges after it was adopted. In other words, it was adopted, it's in effect, we're implementing it, and no one challenged us on the after the adoption. Street sweeping. We have an unusual rainfall in the pattern of in the spring of 2007. We got caught. We admit it. We missed the third sweep. We won't do that again. We actually discuss street sweeping every week. We look at the weather and we pick our times. We try to keep this cost effective and stay on top of it with our division's weather prediction group, and we will get you the information on the lane miles and the other information so you can actually see how this fits in and what our target areas are.
How long does it take you to actually do the 22 miles once you target a time frame?
Typically two nights. These things are done at night. And we try and do it during the week, and we also have to be sure that A1 doesn't have its street sweepers up on blocks or doing maintenance. But we will tell them a week ahead. We think this is when we want it done, and then we'll pick the date, and they'll go out and do it. If we get a quarter to a half an inch of rain, we suspend. We haven't had to do that, but we have a set of criteria that we use to pick the time. We like to wait at least 4 to 6 weeks between sweeps. That's our winter criteria. In September, October, we wait and wait and wait, and then we try and do it just ahead of the storm so we capture everything we can. Is it perfect? No. But we try and keep it cost effective. Next slide, please. This is a mobile car wash with a full collection capability. Collection of all the wash water. This is the county's contractor. It can be done. It's going to become part of our business inspection program, part of what we're trying to accomplish here. And this is an example of the county modifying its own contracts to effectuate municipal operations, delivery of service that is protective of stormwater quality. Next slide, please. Our recommendation is primarily around the issue of coordination. We did get a call in November. It was not particularly detailed. We think that there are a number of issues raised in the letter that are a result of staff not having the opportunity to see what the requirements are or what we're doing, or perhaps we weren't clear. And so we think that a discussion before the formal letter of the concerns that staff has would be extremely important. not that, primarily to clarify issues, and also to help us, because getting the letter at the end of September means that we get the letter after our budget process has started, after we have begun making recommendations to the county's executive office about what the program requirements are for the next year. Had we had that letter a couple of months earlier, we would have been in a much better position to assure that we requested the budget that we need.
Which letter is this you're referring to?
This is the January 28th letter.
Yeah, the one that just went out
about
a week ago. Okay.
Right. And I don't, I will refrain from editorial comment about the county's rather lengthy budget process, but it is what it is, and I can't change it. So I need that kind of input much earlier for me to be able to effectively modify the program in any meaningful ways. Right. And I think that in the future, if you can find a way to do this, if you can satisfy yourselves that we're really trying to do a good job here, given all of our constraints, yours and ours, that to be efficient, you allow your staff to administer the annual review. And I appreciate why we're back this year. I hope we get to a point where we're doing a good enough job and you guys trust us enough that we won't need to take up 2 or 3 hours of your time every year on the annual review.
Well, to that, let me just say, I think it's worthwhile time. Okay.
This year?
This year and probably next year. But I would agree with you, as soon as we can get to a point where things have leveled out and that there is some consistency going on, then we would back off and let staff continue to do what it does and not do it every year. I mean, it's a burden on us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but, you know, we've been appointed to do certain things, mm-hmm. and so we're going to do them to the best of our ability. And if we have to spend more time doing it, then we're going to do that.
There were a couple of things that came up in discussion, and I think you wanted me to deal with some of the land use issues.
Well, yeah, like planning and development. I'm first, I read the thing about 1000 Via Tranquilla, and I read Kira's letter, and then Hillary mentioned the thing about the hotel. And I'm wondering, I mean, I connected that with the slide that said that your training, departmental training, went to, I think, fire and a couple other departments, but it didn't mention planning and development.
The planning and development department are part of the training program.
They're training people?
We are training planning and development about water quality issues. Now, on Via Tranquilla, if I understand the history of the project, the planners did not call out the property as having a stream course on it, rightly or wrongly. The applicant received permits and then did a great deal of landscaping. And so those two things together left a large amount of bare dirt. And without judging whether there were the 50 cubic yards that would have triggered a grading permit or any of the other questions, which I'm not in a position to address, the result was that a number of agencies were called out, including Fish and Game, and your staff. To the extent that Fish and Game took on an enforcement action for any kind of damage in a riparian zone or habitat, the way our ordinance is structured, because they have a higher ability to enforce than we do, they're a state agency, they carry guns, they have criminal and civil penalties, and they are set up to do that kind of enforcement. And we know because they've enforced against the county. We generally will allow them to take the lead on that kind of stuff. And that is one of the factors that was involved in Via Tranquilla.
But you've got a sheriff's department. I mean, you have your own department that can...
The sheriff's department, with all due respect, is focused on other things. And the idea of priorities needs to be kept in mind. Fish and Game's focus, their priority, is habitat and drainage protection. So when there's a call for habitat and drainage construction damage, and they go out, that's what they do. All right? And so this is one of the features of a society where we have overlapping jurisdictions. And your perspective may be the water quality people should go out and take the lead on it. But there are probably other perspectives here. Now, I'm not saying that this was handled right. I'm just giving you a sense of the richness of what was going on out there.
So how do we prevent this from happening again? That's really the issue.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
And in this case, we come back to the planners. And it is, they need to be able to recognize drainage systems on a property. They need to call out the sensitivity of those drainage systems. They need to have a more vigorous presence on projects where someone decides to do landscaping instead of a grading permit.
By drainage system, are you talking about the creek?
The blue line.
There is
the so-called creek.
There is a drainage system out there. Whether it's blue line, whether it's perennial stream.
If it were a stream, would you still be calling it a drainage system?
No. If it were a blue line stream, and the photographs I've seen of it would not, at least in my experience, and I'm a geologist, would not qualify it as a blue line stream.
So let me ask you this then. So have you proposed to amend the swamp in any of the measurable goals or the BMPs to do this additional training or instruction?
We have an ongoing training program.
Right, but is it specific enough now to catch that?
The idea is it doesn't show up in the swamp. It shows up as a feature of the training itself, where now we know we need to talk about drainages, grading versus landscaping, limits on landscaping, and that becomes part of the training. That doesn't show up in the swamp because the swamp, instead of being this thick, would be the thickness of the Prop 50 grant application, which we submitted to the state last week, which was 20 inches. Okay, I mean, you got to at some point, the people who are doing the training have got to be there's got to be, in the same way that your staff does some of the administrative work, the trainers will be told these are the issues folded into your training. It doesn't necessarily show up at this level. This is a guidance document.
I'm only thinking of a couple of words to describe that department that you want to now include
in
your training.
Planning and development is named as one of the departments that gets training.
Okay.
Right.
Had these people been trained
before this issue? I have no idea. You're talking about a brand new program.
I know, but this is also a way for us to see and look at effectiveness.
Well,
so if you had trained them and then things fell down.
Going forward, we hope that this won't happen again.
Okay.
Going forward, it's an example of something that doesn't work.
Right.
It's a little bit like how airline pilots are trained. You know how this is done? Have you ever heard this story? You go into a flight simulator, and what do they give you? They give you every known crash and emergency system that's happened. It's
right.
Programmed right into the, and it's what you do with training. You say, here's Via Tranquilla. Here's how it was permitted. Here's what happened. Here's who got involved. Here's how we would do it differently.
Okay. What about the hotel?
That's in process.
But are they
there? Let me give you a little bit of background here. This is the Miramar. There were permits issued, 6-7 years ago, and that project was started and stopped. There is an open question about whether the original permits have vested, all right, because they were exercised. I do not know the answer to that question, and I don't know that anybody has actually settled that issue. So whatever those permits say can be done, arguably can be done. And that was done well before the county had its land use process modified and whatever else. So there's a project now. The site's been sitting undeveloped, 4 or 5 years. The neighbors don't like it. The county doesn't like it. It's unfortunate, and we have an applicant coming in, and they are negotiating with the county over modifying those permits so that they can achieve their vision. We have not seen in detail what that project's going to look like. It hasn't undergone environmental review, and it's still pretty fluid. My understanding of the issues are the visual impacts and public safety flooding. All right? The requirements for source control best management practices are the responsibility of planning and development. Discontinuous pavement, bioswales, the little things, porous pavement, whatever, that's all their domain. And we haven't looked at that. We don't know what that plan looks like in detail. I'm not sure that the architects are to that level of detail. I just don't know. In terms of the actual runoff, the treatment control, retention basins, mm-hmm. That's something that we would look at. We have not seen that yet because the project hasn't sat still long enough. It's still very fluid. There have been all these hearings and back and forth, and it's pretty typical for a high-stakes project like this where there's a lot of anxiety over what the project's going to look like, that it wants to move forward because the site is such an eyesore. It's been, it's cyclone-fenced.
Well,
I can't tell you what's going on. I know there's a lot of anxiety in the community about a number of issues, and when it's done, there are certain requirements for best management practices mm-hmm. that we expect to see done.
And a SWIP, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, the SWIP, you guys, we require a grading plan.
Right.
And you guys have an independent requirement for a SWIP.
Right.
There's no question that that has to be done.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think anybody's ever questioned that because it's over an acre.
Right.
And they haven't finished, whatever they've done.
And it's going to be issued before they do any work.
It has to be. There has to be a grading plan before they can do grading.
Okay.
And before they can do grading, they need a SWIP.
Okay.
Yeah, there's
This is also an opportunity to do LID. You've got a great piece of property, closeness to the ocean, and
you've got a developer with
some money, and it would be very attractive and get a lot of
You have a developer that is holding what might be a vested permit.
Well,
so your degrees of freedom are constrained by what the developer perceives their fallback is.
Mm.
And if their fallback is to develop the project as it is, and you push too hard for anything, they may just say, fine, we'll do it this way. The way it was permitted 5 or 6 or 7, whenever it was, years ago, is probably not what we would get today. So the question is, you may want to reach to LID, but you may not be able to get there through the negotiations, given the hand that you've been dealt.
Okay. Let me ask Francis this. And I don't know what's in the permit that they issued, but I would assume that there must be a requirement that if the law changes, that the law that the county has to comply with changes during the course of the permit being issued, that would automatically update the permit. For instance, the law being the swamp being issued with additional stormwater requirements.
And I don't know the answer to that because of the vesting issue.
Yeah, issue is the vesting.
Happy to work with staff and see what can be done.
Yeah, but
can you look into that
mm-hmm.
and let us know?
Yes.
Okay.
But there's no question. We're going to get a stormwater pollution prevention plan for the construction. That's never been an issue.
Right.
And so far, the developer's team is agreeing to do source control and do treatment control. Now, if we had a bare site and we were permitting this thing today from scratch, would we do it differently? Absolutely. But that's not where we are. Mm-hmm. And it's important that we be very cognizant of that. And I sympathize with Heal the Ocean on this one. I really do, because this is a very complicated process.
Well, how can we help?
I think probably the best thing to do is in 6 months, sit down and let's talk about how it happened and, again, look forward. Because this one, you may get what you get out of it, but the key here is the lessons learned.
Yeah, that may not be satisfactory, that to look at it after the fact and say it's water under the bridge when the bridge is being built right now.
Well, so, but the bridge is partly built, we think. The question is, can you... How many degrees of freedom do you have right now? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, okay. Francis, you're going to have to tell us that. And, you know, the same may go when we get into Salinas later with, you know, these pending projects and big developments that are, you know, being proposed. What can we do?
Yes,
you don't have to answer that question.
I don't know the answer.
Okay.
Right now.
Yeah, but just remember that. You know, I understand LID, and I understand where we're headed, but we don't have an LID requirement embedded in the county's land use process right now. What we have is a much more general set of needs for BMPs, and you've got a site that's built.
Yeah. How do we get an LID component into the county's land use process?
Well, I suggest first that there be some careful thought about what elements of LID apply to the West Coast and a Mediterranean climate compared to Maryland, where this idea was developed, and where there are questions about its effectiveness as it has become more widespread. I'm not sure how much reading people are doing, but my conversations with people who implement this stuff back east suggest that it works well sometimes, and it needs help in others. Mm-hmm. It's not a panacea by any means.
You're kidding. I'm serious. I mean, are you suggesting for a minute that there isn't experience on the West Coast with LID?
In this region, I think it's been tried for some projects, but to impose it as a regional-wide requirement, I don't think we know enough about it right now. I think the concept is good. I think the philosophical direction is good. I think we need to be very careful about what we do with requirements and details in requirements. That's what I'm saying.
It's a wide toolkit. It's a wide palette of options that are very tailored to specific sites. I can't imagine that at this point in time we're actually disputing that it can't be done effectively.
No, I'm saying that
in the West Coast.
I'm saying that you want to be careful not to get into an argument about which tools to use out of the toolkit.
And my question really was, how do we start getting the county to do that, to incorporate an LID concept into its land use element?
And that's
the question.
That's a very fair question, and I think that is a matter of community will and opportunity as the general plans are updated.
Okay.
General plans are supposed to be updated on a regular schedule, and that should be the opportunity.
Yeah. Is that something that the swamp can direct?
I would caution that.
Yeah.
That's a question for staff.
Yeah. Rob, hang on a second.
I know
what your concern is and everything, that we march down a path that narrows options all the way down to some finite mandate.
Well,
and we don't want that, but I just want to know how we can help encourage the development and incorporation of this. So I think we're the body to help do that.
Well, or the air quality people, or the biological protection people,
Maybe we could have staff answer that question.
Okay.
So you're asking how we can get the county of Santa Barbara and
any
municipalities
phase two permittee
to implement LID?
Yeah. It sounds like it's got to be put into a land use ordinance.
Well, I don't know if that's necessarily the best way, you know, to put it in an ordinance.
The general plan, pardon me.
I think we should kind of leave open some of the options that the individual entities use to implement it. But the Water Board could be much more explicit about what is expected of the MS4s. And we're trying to draft right now a set of criteria that the all the MS4s under the Phase 2 program would be expected to follow or meet. And there's a distinction between LID, which is a set of techniques and on-the-ground treatments and bioswales, pervious pavement. There's specific types of activities or methods on the ground. And what you're trying to accomplish through using those methods. And what we're trying to accomplish is a certain control of the hydrograph, in effect. And so most of the other regions in the state and most entities around the country are actually focusing on the requirements and numeric criteria for the hydrograph.
Mm-hmm. Flooding.
And for downstream erosion.
Right.
And for treatment. So what most of the Phase 1s are doing is identifying numeric criteria for volume, flow, treatment, riparian protection. And so by being explicit about the standard and criteria that we're trying to achieve for those parameters, it's driving people toward LID solutions. And so the tact of saying you must do LID is perhaps a little less effective than saying you must meet these criteria for hydrograph control.
Right. Okay.
And so, as I said, we're developing those criteria now. We expect to have a letter going to all the MS4s that are going to be enrolled by February 15th, going out to them. And then those MS4s who are already enrolled into the program or under the general permit would be, in effect, expected to catch up at some point. We haven't identified the phasing of that. I want to also point out, in addition to our efforts at a regional level, the construction permit, the general construction permit for discharges from construction activities is being redrafted and is probably going to be adopted in the spring or early summer. And it contains fairly substantial post-construction stormwater BMP requirements that affect this issue of volume and rate. It also addresses drainage density, time of concentration, and those are the kinds of parameters that are going to force development into LID patterns. So that's our approach right now, is to develop this guidance and then to evaluate swamp approval or swamps for their inclusion of those criteria, and then also to I have a lot of faith that the construction permit is going to change the way developments are happening.
Okay. Makes sense. If that's how you want to go, that's fine with me.
So,
as an approach.
To get at the question of whether they should put it in a land use element, right, adopt an ordinance, apply design standards, I think that's something that local entities need to determine themselves is the most effective way to get that.
Okay. One thought I had here that popped up is a kind of a question that staff could be using when you're looking at measurable goals, at least in the county's annual report. There were lots of conclusions about what they did that stated that they complied with this or that, or they did what was required. What I would want to see, and maybe it's in the appendices, okay, so I'm not saying it's not there, but I hope staff is looking for the empirical data to support these conclusions that, you know, the BNP is being met or satisfied, or the measurable goal is being met. Because ultimately, that's what we need to look at effectiveness. And that would apply to all of the, you know, the Salinas and then the other Phase 2 permits.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you get a conclusion, you have to go beyond the conclusion and look for the data. Does
right.
the data make sense?
Right.
Is there more data that we need to get in the next year?
Yeah, it's the step beyond
the explicit
terms of the measurable goal.
Right.
That allow us to determine effectiveness.
Exactly.
And it's an iterative process, and we expect that every year it gets better. And in the final years of implementation, we actually have corollary water quality data that are in effect on the ground evidence of how effective these measures are. So people have mentioned the CASCA guidance for program evaluation of effectiveness, it really is a reasonable approach whereby you start with the big building blocks of are we doing the BMP, are we meeting our measurable goal, and you slowly build toward the very top ultimate question, do water quality data indicate effectiveness? But that is a process that takes time, and I think these programs in their first year are probably hitting it pretty much where they need to be for the first year of implementation. But that is exactly what we'll be looking for.
Okay. The analytic distinction, I think, is between program outputs and environmental outcomes. And so it's not, I think it's unproductive to say that this is a extra burden or this is so onerous, extra reporting. On the contrary, if you want the water board to go away and leave you alone, give it the data it needs to then tell the public that water quality is being improved and protected. It's an accountability issue. I'd love to go away and leave you alone, but analytically, it's not enough to say we adopted this program or we did this measure. If we believe that our CCAMP program is worthwhile and important enough to endow, then we believe that environmental outcomes are important enough to measure and report back to people. That's all. Yeah. I acknowledge that this is still in the early phases, but I think what the chair is suggesting is that we tune our reading of these documents to take it from program outputs to environmental outcomes and close the circle. And that requires a kind of a way of reading a document.
And that's a major reason why we're asking for that additional information, to further evaluate it on a deeper level.
Mr. Almy raised something in his letter. He didn't touch on it when he was just up here, but he questioned whether some of these changes should be put into a revised SWMP or just put into the annual report. And I would like to see the changes that you're suggesting that you want into the SWMP be put into a revised SWMP. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is an iterative process until we get it to where we want it. And the county wanted a permit last year, and we went ahead and in 06 and gave the county the permit to get this thing rolling and out the door so they could start doing their job and protecting water quality and getting data. And so we had expressed concerns at the time about the potential inadequacies of some components of the SWMP, although we felt that it met MEP. At this juncture, I would look at it as, and I don't think you're requesting a lot to be revised anyway. I don't think that should be a problem. But I want it to be part of the SWMP so that it's there and can be referred to.
That's what we expect.
Of course.
Yeah, definitely. Because it is a living document.
It
so,
is.
For everyone to abide by.
Mr. Ramley, if I could ask you about something else. Horses.
Back to the revising of the SWMP. Does that mean that it needs to come back to your board for approval because it's a permit?
If a hearing is requested.
If
it's a significant
modification.
Okay, so if we modify it and there's a request, it's coming back for a hearing.
In certain circumstances.
Yeah.
Depends on the situation.
Okay. Your question?
Okay. Hope Ranch Beach?
Private access.
Right. But the horses, well, first of all, there was, I don't know if it was in your letter or staff's, it was in the staff report in discussing this issue with the county that there was signage up about horse and the need to...
At the public access at Arroyo Borough, there is signage regarding horses.
Well, there's horse manure at Hope Ranch Beach, and it's in the public park below the high water line. And I go there all the time to walk my dog, and so I know firsthand that it's there. I have photographed it. And at the top of the, where the parking lot ends and before it goes down to the bottom, there is a dog bag. What do we call those?
Mutt mitt dispenser.
Mutt mitts. There's right. a thing for mutt mitts. And there's a sign saying, pick up after your dogs. Now, why can't there be something that says that?
That would be an issue. That would be an issue that the Hope Ranch Owners Association
okay.
could take up.
All right. Can we do something about that? I mean, I get a sense that the county feels this is going to be a burdensome issue to take up with Hope Ranch, and you'd rather spend your time doing something else.
Well, we've had conversations with Hope Ranch, and Hope Ranch has hired people to sample water quality. They've had a Bren School project in there, and they've attempted to determine bacterial loading from horses. In our experience, Marburg's offer to haul horse waste from
the trails,
from stables, and mm-hmm. then an effort by volunteers to clean up the trails has resulted in a situation where the studies are not finding a relationship between bacteria and the creek and horses. Now, that's due to the trails. The question of horse manure on the beach, we would be happy to approach the Hope Ranch organization. What they do will be their business. An interesting question about below the high tide line, is that something that the county enforces or is that the State Lands Commission? Because, again, we're not the city. Now, I know the city has the ability to enforce below the high tide line. They do with dogs all the time, and I know that the city actually has some other special ownership of the harbor area and the waters out some distance. But I don't know that what the county's ability to enforce below the high tide line is, particularly on a private beach like that. So I don't know the question. I think the most constructive thing to do is to approach the Homeowners Association and see what can be done to encourage people to pick up after their horses.
Okay. Francis, could you add that to your list of things for us to do? I see it more as a potential threat to beach water quality at that juncture than the trails themselves. That's what I'm focused on.
The trails themselves are part of a volunteer program that appears to be fairly effective.
Well, why did they put the dog signs up, the dog ordinance about picking up?
Well, that's at the public beach.
No.
And the Owners Association asked for a mutt mitt dispenser, and we put it up there.
Okay. All right.
And I will say that maybe there's a difference between a perception of dog waste and horse waste, and maybe dog owners are better able to pick up after their pets than horse owners.
Well, that's true once it gets to the ground. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other board questions or comments on this? What I would like to do myself, and I've briefly talked to some board members about, is I think we're fine with the staff's recommendations in terms of what they want to do. You've already put it into a letter, and that's gone to the county. And you're going to be doing an audit of some sort, which is fine. I want to, at this juncture, spend time pulling together and analyzing what's in the annual report, the appendices, and providing input into what the board's perspective is in terms of what we would like to see, if anything, in addition to what staff has already found. And so I don't want staff to be held up at all by what we're going to do. Just do what you're going to do. And I would like a couple of other board members to participate with me on this, for not only Santa Barbara, but then for Salinas also. So before you raise your hand to help with this one, and I will participate in both. Sure. Gary, you?
Well, I can do it for Santa Barbara. I can't for Salinas.
Okay. And Dr. Hunter?
For Santa Barbara? Yeah, I can work on Salinas then.
The Salinas, okay.
Anyone else want to work on Santa Barbara with me? Okay. All right, then it's going to be a yeah, so the two of us, Gary and I, will kind of review this, and we can do it by email. And it'll probably give you more insight into what we think. What we think is appropriate and helpful. So, all right. Anything else we should cover with this before we break? No. Okay.
Mr. Chair, yes. I just have a slight observation of Santa Barbara's representative. And I detected a little negativism and a little resistance. And I hope this doesn't continue, that in further discussions, because it really doesn't get us anywhere. We're obligated to do a job. And I realize that cities and counties don't like federal governments or states or any other agencies coming down and making them to do something that they don't provide any funding to do that job with. I'm very well aware of that. But we have a job to do. You have a job to do. And see if we can't do it together. We don't like to have you come back every year to review these, but we found out it was necessary because things weren't being done. And when you can prove to us that you're making headway, then I don't think we'll have to review these on a yearly basis. It takes up our time, takes up your time, and there are costs associated with these meetings. So I hope we can all work together and resolve this and make California a better place to live.
And it's not so much that it's the discharger not doing something. I think collectively, staff too, and the way we have put everything together and the way we analyze it and what we expect is evolving.
True, but if you know, if I'm sitting here and detecting that, I'm sure other people are detecting that too.
Right.
And if you go back to your county or city and you express some of that, then that becomes an issue. Mm-hmm. And it is carried down all the way through your staff and the general public.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I don't think is really necessary. And like I said, we have a job to do. They have a job to do. And let's try to work together.
Right.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Shelton.
Just quickly, this comes up a lot, and hopefully staff is on it, but I think the two things when we're dealing with jurisdictions that staff really, that really can get in the way between us and the jurisdictions working successfully together are the length of time it takes for them to do an ordinance and their budget. Calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they're working, I know for the state they're working 2 years ahead. So if you want anything in 2 years, you got to get it in today. So I just think when we're setting up these dates and that you need to work with the jurisdictions and see really what's realistic. Thanks.
I wish I knew what the remedy was for that, because they're, you know, the year ends June 30th and they get into their, you know, budget stuff in what, December, January. I mean, there really isn't sufficient time for it. So unfortunately, you know, we're really working like a year behind, but it looks like it's going to take, you know, the full 5 years, you know, maybe 4 years to get this up to where we want it. And if that's what happens, that's what happens. Maybe that's what was envisioned, you know. But listen, the reporting and the public involvement, there was also an issue of the documents being available for public review only 3 days, or it was 17 days. I'm not sure. Well, I don't know what 17 days means, that the first part that was put on the web and whether that had the appendices or not. You know, I'm a little unsure about all this, but the public really should have at least a week of the full package, you know, so that they can go through it. And if this becomes their forum, then for having their concerns aired out, then that's what will happen. I guess the Board of Supervisors isn't going to really change much you know, based on their input. So it's going to happen in this forum. Okay, we're done.
I just have one last
go ahead.
Point, just so I'm clear. You asked also Francis to review Laurie Okun's letter.
Yes, that whole thing about the ordinance.
Right, and that's right. Not reflected in the staff letter, but it's part of what...
You're right. We're asking that as part of board's direction right now.
Okay.
And she's got a couple of other things to follow up with.
Right.
Their homework.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. All right, so we're going to break for lunch.
An hour,
right?
I think, will be sufficient.
An hour should be sufficient. Then, you know what, when we come back, we only have Salinas to entertain us with for the rest of the afternoon. Everything else has been dealt with on the agenda, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we get to go home at 1:30?